Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's date is September 15th, 2021. The approximate time is 8:34 a.m. I call the meeting of the Complaint Screening Committee of the Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners to order. If we could do the roll call.
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Gill, you're muted.
Present.
Thank you. Ms. LaBoy?
Present.
Dr. Meyer?
Present.
Thank you. We have quorum and may proceed with the approval of minutes, Madam Chair.
Perfect. For agenda item number three, the approval of minutes for April 21st, the CSC meeting. I am recused as I did not attend this meeting. Dr. Meyer, would you please make the motion?
Yes, I would move to approve the minutes.
And I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Okay.
And Ms. LaBoy, before I proceed, I did see someone join, so let me just check with the doctor. Dr. Novi, are you present today? Okay, I did not hear anything. So we can go to case 4B for Dr. Padilla in the meantime.
Okay, perfect. So the Complaint Screening Committee, pursuant to ARS 322081H, may dismiss the complaints appearing on this agenda or refer them to the full board for consideration and action. Complaints dismissed by the committee shall not be disclosed in a response to a telephone inquiry or placed on the board's website pursuant to ARS 322081H1. Upon a vote of a majority of the quorum, the committee may go into executive session on any item on the agenda, pursuant to ARS 38431.03A2, to review confidential records, or subsection A3, to review confidential legal advice from the board's attorney, Ms. Galvin. For those in attendance, please be aware that the chair reserves the right to change the order of the items on the agenda based upon parties present and requests to speak. A person or representative of a person who has filed or received a complaint and is present at today's meeting may make a brief statement up to 5 minutes to the committee when prompted by the chair. The committee may also have questions for those who speak. Please use only initials for patients, children, and the complainant. Be aware that the content of many records involved in these complaints is confidential and that the content should not be discussed in a public meeting. Be advised that the committee will go into executive session to discuss any confidential records. Okay, it looks like we are going to go ahead and take care of item 4B first. So the complaint to be discussed first today is number T-22-01 for Scott Padilla. It looks like Dr. Gill, you were the lead on that. Would you provide the committee a brief overview of the complaint?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's a complaint against Dr. Scott Padilla. His license was issued in 2017. His license was surrendered as part of a consent agreement on November of 2020. Background. In April of 2020, while Dr. Padilla was in active status, he began treatment with an adult female, we'll call her TB, in Tucson through the parent company of Dr. Padilla's Bamboo Wellness PLLC. On November the 6th of 2020, Dr. P signed a consent agreement with the board for voluntary surrender of his license. In July of 2021, board received an email from one of Dr. Padilla's former patients, NC, indicating Dr. Padilla still was practicing despite being unlicensed. NC said she posted on Reddit website regarding everything that occurred with Dr. Padilla as a public warning. NC's therapist in Washington also reported that Dr. Padilla may still be practicing as a psychologist in Arizona. The client, TB, reported to the board that she saw Dr. Padilla for service until 1 week before July the 5th, 2021. At about that time, TV emailed Dr. Padilla requesting an appointment. Dr. Padilla replied that he moved out of his office. However, TV could see him at his home or at a coffee shop or other public place. TB felt unsure, researched online and found out Dr. Padilla had surrendered his license. Dr. Padilla sent an email on December the 1st of 2020 to TB saying he was not renewing his license, but failed to say he had surrendered his license. Dr. Padilla also said that TB could meet him in a counseling coaching capacity, quote, noting that there would this situation would not feel any different to the client, but that he is required to inform her of the change. Board staff, after consulting with the board's assistant attorney general, opened a complaint and possible violation of ARS 32-2084. And Dr. Padilla, through complaint notification, was notified he may be in violation of the state law. A simple statement of the statute prohibits the use of a combination of words, initials, or symbols that leads the public to believe that the person making the representation is licensed to practice psychology in Arizona. It's a class two misdemeanor. On 11-6 of 2020, Dr. Padilla reminded that he was reminded in this complaint notification that he entered into a consent agreement with the board for voluntary surrender of his license. He was no longer permitted to practice or hold himself out as a licensed psychologist in Arizona. In July of 2021, board staff received an email indicating Padilla Dr. Padilla is continuing to provide psychological services. In the email, Dr. Padilla falsely told the client that he was not renewing his license, but failed to say that he had actually surrendered his license. Dr. Padilla said that TB could meet with him in a counseling coaching situation. Dr. Padilla reported that he was moving out of his office in July the 21st of 2021. And offered sessions to the client at his home or at a coffee shop. Dr. Padilla was informed that he may be in violation of the law. He was asked to submit a copy of the client's file and include any written correspondence. Dr. Padilla's response, he lists his name at the top, along with Bamboo Wellness Coaching Services underneath. Dr. Padilla stated that he has not been practicing psychology, providing psychological services without a license since the surrender of his license. The TB on 11-20-20 emailed Dr. Padilla requesting an appointment. Last client contact, according to Dr. Padilla, was October 21st of 2020. Dr. Padilla at that time had been pursuing a teaching position at University of Arizona, was not, in his words, intending to continue to see clients for much longer. Dr. Padilla at that time had informed each of his clients regarding a change in his license or status. A small number of clients expressed interest in continuing in a, quote, coaching capacity. Dr. Padilla responded to the client's TB email, would be willing to see the client, but had begun to pursue a teaching position. An appointment was set up for December the 8th, 2021. It's not known if that appointment was accomplished or not. Dr. Padilla said he was advised by colleagues not to say he was surrendering his license as long as he was forthcoming about not being licensed. Dr. Padilla stated in his email response to TB that he could no longer call himself a psychologist unless he was licensed. And Dr. Padilla submitted a document to a small number of clients. This is on page 5 of the um, uh, on the Dr. Padilla agenda complaint report, and it stated that he's no longer licensed, but he could continue in a counseling coaching capacity. It should be noted that we didn't receive any documents that were signed by patients, including TB's signature. Dr. Padilla, during a chart review by staff, acknowledged that up until April of 2021, the digital signature of his session notes read, quote, psychologist owner, unquote. In April, he changed the digital signature to, quote, therapist owner. That's the end of this summary. Thank you very much.
And Madam Chair, I apologize for interrupting, but I do want to let the committee know Dr. Padilla is present as well as the client TB, who I requested participate today should the committee have any questions. So the committee can certainly proceed with hearing from TB if there's any questions for her, and then go to Dr. Padilla.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for TB?
Does she have any comments that she would like to make? If no one has any questions.
TB, you can unmute your end. If you would like to make any comments, feel free to do so right now.
I think just, you know, being unsure of the whole situation and making sure everybody is safe, you know, in the future, and anybody else that may have been, you know, seeking counseling or whatever through Scott Padilla, I just wanted to make sure everybody's safe and understanding what's going on and what the situation was. That's kind of my whole intention in the complaint and moving forward. So,
okay, thank you. Does anyone have any follow-up questions based on her statement? Okay. Dr. Padilla, you're present, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good morning. Would you please state your full name for the record? And just so you're aware, this is your opportunity to make a statement. We try and keep them to about 5 minutes, and then the committee might have questions for you afterwards.
Sure, my name is Dr. Scott Padilla. I don't really have a statement at this point. I'm happy to answer questions though.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Dr. Padilla?
Madam Chair, I do.
Okay, please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, Dr. Padilla. How many, after you surrendered your license in November, how many clients have you continued to see?
As of November, about six were the remainers that wanted to continue, even though I had informed them that I no longer had my license.
Okay. And how many are you seeing right now?
None.
Okay. When was the last time you provided any professional services?
As soon as I received information that another complaint had been submitted, I basically at that point threw up my hands and decided I was no longer interested in this. So the last client I saw was in July in a coaching capacity.
Okay. And so for the current claim, you submitted the records for TB. Besides changing your title from psychologist, I didn't see any difference from one progress note to another. Which would suggest that the services you were providing were continuing to be the same. What changed in your, besides signing a piece of paper saying that you're no longer licensed, what changed in the services that you were providing, if anything?
Well, this particular client was making amazing progress in her her life in general. Her sessions at that point really had come to her coming in fairly sporadically when she felt it was necessary, I assumed, to come in and kind of update or share what kind of changes or progress she's made. And those sessions were really her doing a lot of talking and me doing a lot of listening and sort of just encouraging and responding and in positive ways as much as I could to support and encourage her to continue on the amazing path that I thought that she was on. There was not any real digging into clinical issues or diagnostic type work. So the difference, I guess, after November with this particular client, who I didn't see very many times after November, was just, what I considered to be encouraging and recognizing the great work that she had done in her own personal endeavors. So the notes probably didn't reflect much other than that, because that's exactly what I was doing.
So from if someone were observing your sessions, would they notice a difference from October to the December session? Would there be a difference between those services?
Perhaps not with this particular client at that point, just because of the trajectory that she was on. I don't know if TB would disagree, but I feel like when she would come in towards the end there, the sessions were her, telling me the updates on her work, the updates on her relationship, the updates on her housing situation, just the progress and the accomplishments that she had made. So with this particular client, there really wasn't a lot of clinical intervention necessary at that point, because she had really launched in a really positive way and was doing a really great job on her own, making those changes and those actions in her life that were benefiting her greatly. So I don't know that it would have looked therapy per se with this particular client, because she was doing so well on her own and just coming in and reporting such.
Okay. And thank you. And so in looking at the notes, there's nothing in the, you saw her in October and then again in December. There's nothing in that December note saying there was any discussion of you no longer being licensed. And there's no evidence of the form that you submitted saying that you were no longer licensed. So what should we make of that?
Yeah. So, and I think in my response I wrote that, first of all, I included the email that I think the other board member shared about informing her that I'm no longer licensed. So there's that. But with this particular client, I never saw her any other way but in my office. And the folks that I had sent that consent form, the one that that informed them formally of my licensure change, were all remote folks. And because of the spread out nature of the appointments that I was seeing TB I in my mind, I believe and I remember that I had a stack of those forms for anyone that I happened to see in my office in person. But I don't recall whether or not I did that with this particular client. And, you know, I kicked myself for not being able to locate that form or having not have had her do it. But I did inform her via the email that when she asked for an appointment, I said, okay, but I have to tell you I'm not licensed anymore. I can't call you a psychologist. I can't call myself a psychologist, but, you know, if you're still interested in seeing me in a coaching capacity, you're welcome to schedule another appointment. And she did so. I feel like as much as I would have preferred to have been able to provide that formal form with her signature on it, I do know that I disclosed that and felt like my basis had been at least somewhat covered.
Okay.
And I was so not trying to deceive her or lead her in a misleading direction.
So finally, what you texted her though is that you were not renewing your license, as opposed to that you surrendered it. You said you weren't trying to deceive her in any way, but to me that comes across as deceit, that you were not honest with her about your licensure status.
I believe I said I'm not renewing it, and because I no longer have my license, I can't call myself a psychologist in the state of Arizona. So the guidance that I had received from the folks that I had consulted, people who I respect, people who are in the field as well, all told me that it wasn't necessary to explain the nature of the licensure status change, only that there was a licensure status change. And, you know, I took their input as good input and went forward in that manner. Again, the intent was not to deceive anybody, but, you know, I was trying to maintain at least some form of a business and continue on providing whatever services I could to the folks who still wanted to have them. And, you know, I think that the requirement was that I tell people I'm no longer licensed. It wasn't that I tell them how that came about. And I can see someone thinking that that's deceptive. I understand that, but that wasn't my intention at all.
Okay, thank you. No further questions.
Are there any other questions? Okay. Anyone else have any other comments? No? Okay. The committee will now begin deliberation. Please note that deliberation is the time for the committee members to deliberate the case among themselves without interruptions from complainants, respondents, or attorneys representing respondents. Dr. Gill, would you please begin the deliberation since you're the lead for the case?
Dr. Gill, you're on mute.
I do appreciate that Dr. Padilla has closed down his practice, but from my reading of this material, it seems pretty clear that he is in violation of the consent agreement and he is in violation of the statute. And I'm ready to recommend that this go before the board as an under informal review.
That's a motion seconded.
Well, it wasn't meant as a motion, but we could turn it into a motion.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would agree. I thought I recalled him saying he was done working back when he agreed to the consent or signed the consent agreement. He's still working. I don't know if I believe him or not that he's no longer seen anyone, and what he's doing is there was no change.
No argument. You know, it's also, I want to emphasize, holding yourself out as a psychologist, which he did for a period of time. He even had, you know, a statement that he was a psychologist in his letterhead before it was removed in April. So, I mean, I think that the documentation is clear, the behavior is clear. The information we're receiving, doesn't leave a lot of doubt in my mind. So I will make a motion that we pass this case, send it on to the board for an informal review.
And Dr. Hill, just to clarify, would your motion be to forward it to the board for further review for a possible violation of 32/2084?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, there's a second to that motion?
Seconded.
Okay. I move that the complaint T-22-01 be referred to the full board for review of possible violation of ARS 32/2084A16.
Madam Chair, I apologize. I think we need to do a roll call first. It could just be a verbal roll call.
I'm sorry. In favor.
We need the vote.
So you can just ask all in favor.
Okay, so I'll call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, the motion carries. The complaint number T-2201 regarding Dr. Padilla has been forward for a possible review of ARS 32/2084. Dr. Padilla will be notified in writing by board staff in the near future regarding the committee's decision. Thank you for attending, Dr. Padilla.
And Madam Chair, just to clarify, when you call that vote, I didn't hear you say.
Oh, yes, aye, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Just wanted to make sure I capture that.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, we can move back to case number 4A for Dr. Novi. I do want to make a couple comments. He is not present here right now. Okay. I did send two emails to him this morning. I have not received a response. Ms. Pakanon also called him about a half hour ago and left a voice message. She hasn't heard back from him. I also want to note that I did send him the meeting notice over a month ago on April 13th. And during some of my email correspondences with him on August 6th, I did let him know that it would be reviewed today. And he just said, okay, thank you. He never indicated if he would be participating or not. So the committee can certainly decide if it wishes to proceed with the review of today's case. I do want to note that we have the complainant SG present, so it might be helpful to hear from her as well. So if the committee wants to proceed, then they can hear from Dr. Meyer a summary first off.
Ms. Magnuson, can I ask a question of you?
Yes.
Dr. Novi, was he subpoenaed to be here?
No, as this is the initial review. But he was notified more than a month in advance on both occasions. And I've also followed up today and haven't heard from him. So I do not know what his reason is for not being here today.
So a subpoena isn't appropriate for a screening committee, just for the board meetings. Is that correct?
This is the committee's first review of this complaint. We had no indication that he wasn't going to attend or that his attendance was necessary or desired by the committee. So subpoenas aren't sent out as a routine matter. If you feel that his presence is vital to your review at this stage, you could table it and issue a subpoena. Or if you believe that unprofessional conduct may have occurred and you refer to the full board, you could ask staff that he be subpoenaed to appear at the full board's first review.
Thank you, Ms. Calvin.
Okay.
I'm proceeding.
I'm willing to proceed. Yeah, I'm not.
Okay. I am as well. Okay, so then the second complaint to be discussed is case number 21-27 for Gregory Novi. Dr. Meyer, would you please provide the committee a brief overview since you were the lead?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In November 2020, Arizona DCS referred a mother and a father to Dr. Novi to complete psychological evaluations. Based on allegations of neglect and to evaluate their parenting competency. In June of 2021, SG filed a complaint against Dr. Novi alleging that after her review of the evaluations, psychological testing was not properly administered and described in the reports. SG is a psychologist who was consulting with DCS on psychological evaluations. SG indicated that, again, the psychological testing was not properly administered, interpreted, or described. She noted that several of the subsections did not have additional information provided. She then contacted Dr. Novi, who indicated that those were not the final reports, and then submitted additional information. Again, there were concerns about the administrations of multiple evaluations. In Dr. Novi's response to the complaint, he stated that he has done many evaluations for DCS and never had complaints previously. He felt that he answered appropriately the referral questions for the evaluation, noted that his opinions were based on several categories of data, including record review, clinical impressions, psychometric data, and then the interviews. He explained that he only uses portions of the psychological tests, as those provide him the best information. Explained that he did provide the rationale for his diagnoses and opinions. He did submit all of the records for each client, and each file included an email from DCS with the referral information, a release of information to DCS, a notice of privacy practices, testing data, handwritten notes, and an invoice. And that concludes my summary of the case.
Okay. Thank you for that, Dr. Meyer. Okay. So is the complainant SG present? I believe she indicated she was previously.
Yes.
Okay. If you can just state your initials for the record, and now's your opportunity to make a statement to the board. We might have some questions for you afterwards, but we try and keep the statement to about 5 minutes.
My initials are SG. I don't have any statement, but I'm certainly here to answer any questions if the board has questions.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for SG?
I do.
Okay.
SG, thank you for being here today. I just would like you to elaborate on your statement that you didn't feel that Dr. Novik had provided appropriate information, you know, or substantiate and support the diagnosis that he rendered, particularly regarding the mother. I think the diagnosis was neurocognitive. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to mention that. But with respect to the diagnosis that was rendered, you didn't feel that he supported that diagnosis with appropriately. And I wondered if you wanted to make a comment about that.
My recollection of these reports, and specifically mom's, when he made those diagnoses, there was not a significant explanation in his summary and diagnostic findings at the end of his report that described what symptoms she meets and why she meets the criteria for that. my concerns for his administration of the testing and his interpretation of specifically for mom, the waifs, also added to my concerns for really being able to understand her diagnosis, if that helps, if you want me to elaborate more.
No, that's fine. Did you have concerns about the validity of the test results?
I do.
Because I had some concerns of my own. The mother reported that she hates to be tested, and comments like this suggest that whatever results you may obtain from this kind of test administration, at best, is suspect. And I just wondered, in DCS cases, do they require or do you require effort testing?
It's not required from DCS. That would be up to the psychologist administering the test. Psychologists who are contracted with the department are able to choose whatever tests they believe are appropriate in answering the referral questions. I think in this particular case, I have concerns for the validity of the results because of statements such as that from mom, but also the statements that Dr. Novi provided me after the fact in emails about, backing up his interpretation of the waste. I don't know how that happened. I didn't get a whole lot of detail in his report about her behavioral observations and what was going on during that testing, or the interpretation of the specific indices. All of that vague information that he had provided in his report was concerning to me for the validity of those results. But then he mentioned the use of the MMPI. He didn't think that she could take that independently. And so instead of testing for that, for her reading comprehension level, or attempting to administer it and then letting the validity scales speak for themselves, he apparently just simply asked her critical items on the test, and that wouldn't be standard administration of the MMPI. And so that was just another concern in terms of the validity of the results of these evaluations.
Did you have concerns also that he did not administer certain subtests of the WAIS-4, and he left out, a concern of mine was that he left out the measures of delayed memory, which is a key factor in drawing conclusions about certain deficits that this individual might present. Did that concern you?
I'm not recalling reading that in his report, and I didn't have the raw test data, so I'm not, maybe I'm missing something from the report and would have to go back and look at that if it was documented in his report. But I didn't have the raw test data to be able to know which waste subtest he may or may not have administered.
Well, in the WIMS-4, there was a measure of auditory memory. There was no measure of delayed memory. That's all. And there were other measures that were left out as well, as well as the subtests on the WAIS-4. There were subtests that were left out. And I'm just asking if you have a comment about that, because it seemed the way he presented the test results were not standardized, I'll put it that way. And I think that might have been a concern of yours, that you were evaluating this and he was drawing certain conclusions, and yet he kind of short-circuited the testing. Also, on the Woodcock-Johnson, he had three items that he administered, when there's a whole lot more items that you could administer. And so it seemed like he was cutting corners, and that's my impression. I just wondered if that was yours.
It was, and that was the sort of general concern for my complaint when I initially read both of his reports. The interpretation of them was not a standard interpretation for any of the test results that he had administered. And then I had concern from his reporting to me in emails about his administration of them. Certainly the additional information that I'm receiving today is more concerning for his administration of additional tests that he gave.
Because this woman had a, allegedly had a serious brain injury at a young age, did you consider a neuropsych assessment in this case?
I did. So I didn't initially refer her for a neuropsych assessment because she had been doing okay in her parenting visits. She needed improvement, and we wanted to make sure we knew what her functioning was, but she was taking feedback and she was clearly trying to utilize that feedback and doing somewhat well with it. So that's why I just initially referred her for a psychological evaluation with the use of intelligence testing to help us understand a bit more about her cognitive functioning. But so that's why she wasn't specifically referred right away for a neuropsych eval.
The other impression I have from reading the reports is that the recommendations appeared to be weak. There was no section on recommendations. And although there was a brief narrative about some recommendations that were made, but in these kinds of cases, in my familiarity with them, is that sometimes parental skills classes are recommended or treatment is recommended. I saw that as missing from his reports. I wonder if that was also a concern of yours.
It was. So he made some bold statements in his report. So I had concerns about the validity of the assessment. And then without his sort of providing substantial information to back up his diagnoses and his findings, at least with mom, he also made the suggestion that she can never independently parent the children. That combined with little information to really help support and explain that to the department and any recommendations for her to improve parenting skills was concerning. And what ends up happening with a case like this with the department, we're basically starting over. The time that passed while this parent is doing that evaluation, engaged in services, waiting for the results of that evaluation, she could have been engaged in services to actually help her case and reunify with her children. And now she's starting back at the beginning and having to redo an evaluation and start all of these services over again.
I just want to say, I want to thank you for being here and for filing this complaint. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Does anyone have any other questions for SG?
Madam Chair, I do.
I'm sorry, Dr. Meyer, did you say you did or didn't?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
SG, thank you for being here. Has Dr. Novi done other evaluations for DCS?
I believe he has. I don't believe I have reviewed any other evaluations of his, but he's been contracted with the department for some time now. This current contract has been open for a few years. And so he would have been, I don't know how many times he has renewed a contract with them, but he would have been doing them for at least the last few years, if not longer.
But you don't have any experience with previous reports to compare quality to these two?
I do not. This was my first case that came up where he did the evaluations.
Okay. And did he not provide, so I saw several emails back and forth between you and him. Did he never provide the original testing data to you?
He did not. He only provided me updated reports when he suggested that the initial reports provided were not his final reports.
Okay. Did you ask for the test data?
I believe I did. I'd have to look back at my email with him again, but I believe that I did ask at some point for test data and clarification so that I could better understand his findings. And he only responded to me with the emails and then providing me his final reports. At that point, I didn't follow up again in terms of asking a second time for the data.
Okay. Those were my questions. Thank you.
Okay. Any other follow-up questions? No? Okay. Dr. Novi, are you present?
I did not see him here.
Okay. If there are no other questions and Dr. Novi's not here to make a statement, then the committee will now begin deliberation. Please note again that deliberation is the time for committee members to deliberate the case amongst themselves without interruptions from complainants, licensees, or attorneys representing licensees. Dr. Meyer, would you please begin the deliberation since you're the lead?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I went back and forth on this case. I think that it's fairly standard with psychological testing to sometimes only administer portions of the test. You especially see that in neuropsych evals. You don't necessarily have to give all of the subtests. I think that if there were real concerns about memory, I don't know why you wouldn't give all of the whims as well as all of the wastes if you're concerned about cognitive issues. So it that doesn't quite make sense to me, but I don't. I think that's a judgment call. Now I think that it's a bit different with the MMPI that he didn't administer it. Just asking critical items is not administering that test. And so clinically, if he wants to use those critical items to get information, fine, but you can't say that you administered the MMPI. Now, it doesn't look like he was billing for each test. It looked like there was just an overall fee. So it doesn't look appropriate that he's saying that he administered the MMPI. The other concerns I had, another concern I had is that there was not a informed consent document as part of the records, and then finally, his responsiveness to DCS is a little bit concerning when he's contracted with them, but not working to provide all the information. So when I look at this report, I think there are quality issues. I can understand the concerns on the complainant side of not getting the information needed. I do struggle to see if this is an ethical violation, I guess is where I'm concerned. I think the biggest one is that there's not informed consent. But then beyond that, it's just a level of kind of lack of quality. But curious to hear your thoughts, Dr. Gill and Ms. LeBoy.
Thank you. Madam Chair, may I?
Yes, please.
May I comment? I didn't go back and forth on this. I was pretty clear that there were some serious quality issues here. I think that SG's comment that a diagnosis was not properly substantiated is absolutely true here. Here we're having a pretty serious diagnosis that I can't state, but a pretty serious one. And it involves head trauma. There wasn't a extensive assessment of whether this individual has a history of head trauma or not. I'm thinking about a well-known neuropsychiatrist who recommends assessors ask about head trauma when that's a real possibility. You ask the individual at least five times before you might get the straight answer. But in this case, I don't think, other than a brief comment about what happened when the person was a child, there was no appropriate, in my opinion, assessment of the history of any brain trauma or similar kinds of experience that would justify this the diagnosis that was rendered. I also, I think Dr. Meyer had mentioned that, yes, the MMPI was stated on the test administered, and then the test wasn't administered. You can make a judgment call about not administering an MMPI because somebody has a fourth grade education or a fourth grade level in reading. But my concern was the validity, because you had comments about the presentation of this individual not liking to be tested. And I had to wonder, and apparently SG wondered the same, whether these numbers that we were receiving had any validity whatsoever. And they weren't, also the report wasn't educating the reader. Now the reader are people that work at DCS, among other places, and not all of them are that skilled at knowing or being able to interpret it the ways for, the whims for. And I take that into account as well. Context matters. And there was no explanation of these standardized scores. You know, somebody might say, well, maybe they're raw scores. You know, there was no clear statement about the meaning of the scores. And his explanation about leaving out processing speed and working memory made no sense to me. You know, he says that he found that he doesn't get much out of those measurements. And, you know, if he were here, I would say, well, you know, do you have a reference that you want to give to this committee to support that line of thinking? My impression is that there's no basis for him making that decision that makes any sense at all. And with respect to a head trauma issue, don't you want to know about delayed memory? Don't you want to know about processing speed? Don't you want to know about working memory? You want to know these things. So not only did he not, he made comments like low average to a below average, which, you know, if you really take a look at that comment, it just doesn't hold any water at all. Also, with respect to the tests administered, typically what I see, you know, there's not a ethical principle that you have to follow here, but typically, and I think I could argue a standard practice, is that when you submit subtests to a WAIS-IV, if you just submit certain subtests, then you indicate that in the tests administered. You don't include it in the narrative down below. And again, who is this report written for? It's written for, among other things, you know, people that know the testing like SG, but also people that are in the trenches at DCS that have to deal with, you know, people that whose children have been taken away from them. And so they have a need to have at least a basic understanding of what they're reading. And I don't think any clear explanation was found. I think that SG's comment that these results were not appropriately substantiated through the testing and through a thorough assessment of these individuals is absolutely right on. And I'd be willing to make a motion to move this to an informal interview by the board.
Dr. Gill, what potential violations would you be including in your motion?
Yeah, a violation of Ethical Code 9.01, basis for assessment, substantiation of findings, testing adequate to support the findings.
Well, and I think the other aspect is the lack of informed consent, which would be the 32-2061H, I think.
H relates to records.
Right. Yeah, failing or refusing to maintain or retain adequate business, financial, or professional records pertaining to the psychological services provided.
Would that also relate to ethical standard 3.10 relating to informed consent?
Yes.
Does anyone believe that O would be involved providing services that are unprofessional by current standards?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Dr. Meyer, I'm looking at R, which is failing to obtain a client's or patient's informed and written consent to release personal or otherwise confidential.
Right. He had a refusal information, but it's the informed consent.
Sorry, yeah.
There's nothing in there.
You're right.
Okay. So to clarify, Dr.
H, O, and DD.
Yeah, so to clarify, Dr. Gill's motion was to forward to the board for further review for potential violations of 16H, 16O, and 16DD regarding an ethical violation of sections 3.10 and 9.01 of the APA code. Is that correct, Dr. Gill?
Yes.
And Dr. Gill, just to clarify, would your motion also include directing board staff to subpoena Dr. Novi's appearance for a future board meeting when this is reviewed?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Would it be appropriate to ask for other evaluations for DCS to see if this is is this kind of standard practice, or is this a... Was this a less than thorough job that he did compared to previous work? I mean, I guess the concern I have here is if he's been doing evaluations for DCS, and they continued to renew his contract, they knew what they were getting. And now that doesn't excuse, the concerns here, but it's also you get what you pay for. And this was not a neuropsych evaluation. That's the one thing I'm struggling with is how standard is this type of evaluation for DCS?
So you may want to pursue that. I don't know if SG has an opinion on whether DCS would be willing to sanitize some reports that he provided in the past, or whether Dr. Novi would be, if he has access to other reports that he's provided for DCS.
Is this off track? Should we just stay focused on these reports?
I think that's up to, and you may want the board to decide that after their initial review. I do have other boards who will ask for kind of a chart review to see if this was kind of a one-off, or if he is practicing this way in general. So I think that you would have the authority to do that. It's just DCS is a little bit different. And the confidentiality of the records, I don't know if they're going to be willing to supply us anything.
So maybe let me just retract all of that. And if the whole board wants to go there, great, but maybe for now just stick to these. But
I think SG had requested raw data on this particular these particular evaluations. Maybe we could stick to these two evaluations and request the raw data to be provided. We did receive it.
There's the testing forms that he used. The waste is in there.
Yes, Dr. Novi initially only supplied the psychological evaluation report, and I requested that he provide the whole file. So he did include the testing for both parents.
And the WIMS 4 is in there too?
For the mother.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I stand corrected.
Okay, so I'll second the motion.
Okay, so just my commentary, I guess. I started off somewhat similar to Dr. Meyer's thoughts in that I'm not sure that this rises to the level of any ethical concerns. However, it would be interesting to see other reports that he's authored to see if this is something in just this particular report he did, or if this is just how he practices, which is concerning, I guess. No other discussion? No? Okay. So there was a motion by Dr. Gill. Dr. Meyer, you seconded that motion. If there's no other discussion, I will call for a vote. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye as well. The motion carries. So complaint number 21-27 regarding Dr. Novi has been moved on for, I believe we indicated for an informal review.
It would be for an initial review at a future board meeting date, and Dr. Novi.
No, I'm still learning these terms. An initial review.
For an initial review at a future meeting date for which Dr. Novi's appearance would be subpoenaed. So yes. Board staff will be in contact in the near future with both parties. So I believe we're done with this case review and we can move on to agenda item number 5.
Okay. Perfect. And I just want to make sure we had it correct that it was ARS 32-2061-HON. You said DD?
DD for an ethical code violation as it relates to section 3.10 and 9.01.
Okay, perfect. Sorry, still trying to learn all this. I apologize. Moving on to item number 5, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Seconded.
All right. All in favor, say aye. All opposed, say nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. This meeting is adjourned at, it looks like it's 9:37 a.m. And thank you, everyone. I appreciate it. This was my first one, so thank you for your patience.
Thank you. And is this a